Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Diva Days of Our Lives. Tonight we have the pleasure of welcoming back the wonderfully talented and ever so charming Teo Penglis. Teo portrayed Andre and Tony DiMera for over 25 years on Days of Our Lives. He recently starred as the evil Lord Haman in the Book of Esther, and he will soon be playing a priest in the movie Job's Daughter. So if you ever wanted to talk to Teo, here's your chance. Please call in at 914-338-1239 or join us in the chat room with your questions. I'm Marianne, and joining us tonight are my co-host Anna.
Hello.
And Carrie.
Hello.
And of course, Teo. Welcome, Teo. So nice to have you back again.
Oh, thank you. It's been, what, a couple of months?
I think April.
So April?
That's the last time. April.
Mm-hmm. Well,
probably right before the movie was the Book of Esther.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you were doing Job's Daughter, probably. You haven't?
No, I haven't watched it yet. You know, I just have a real difficult time watching myself. I kind of cringe.
No. See, I would like to get an idea of what you thought of it.
My brother called me. He finally watched it with his wife. They liked the work. I had a call from a director and his wife, and they liked the work. Wasn't crazy about some of the supporting cast, but, you know, that's not in my hands. But they were wonderful to work with, I must say. I mean, it's, you know, it's a very spiritual group, and everything on the set is calm, unlike some of the other places I've worked, like Job's Daughter, which was one of the most difficult shoots I've ever experienced. I mean, shooting 10 scenes in one day, I thought I was doing Days of Our Lives again.
They really do it fast now, 4 months ahead.
They do it so fast, yeah, I know. And and the director came up to me and couldn't understand why I was so calm. And I told him, I said, I'm playing a priest. How do you expect me to behave? So he was screaming at everybody. And he's an Israeli. He can be very nice and very charming, but my God, when he's on the set, because he was very calm with Doris, because he wouldn't dare say anything to her, but oh my God, the younger players suffered immensely, especially the young actors. It was not easy. I mean, you know, that's not a great way to start because it does create fear about not feeling good enough. So I had to have a serious talk with him. Now I've still got to do the opening and closing voiceover. So that's going to be done in the next few weeks. And then I start another film with the people who did Story of Esther.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. The actor who played Married with Children, he was kind of blonde, blue-eyed, funny actor, nice-looking man. Who?
Which character? Oh, I'm sorry.
He played the father.
Maybe Tim
Irish name.
Did he play the neighbor? Did he play the neighbor?
Ted McGinley.
Yes.
Thank you. so, playing a psychiatrist. How about that?
A nice psychiatrist.
But I'm going to look for some ambivalency in the scene if I can, just so he won't be as comfortable. I'm playing. He's a man who's has a secret crush on a businesswoman from South America, and he's about to make his vows again, and so he comes to me for advice. So anyway, that's because of David and I got along so well when he directed Esther, and so he's asked me back again, and so we'll see.
So that starts the end of this month, did you say?
Yeah, it starts around the 25th of August.
Whoa, okay.
Oh, very cool.
So how do you think you're going to... Go ahead.
Sorry, how do I think what?
How do you think you're going to find your voice for the psychiatrist? How you said you tried to find the voice for the priest?
Yeah, well, it's not as if he's exactly spiritual. It's not an easy part. You know, sometimes parts rattle off your tongue and you can identify with someone and you build on it. But this one is kind of abstract, some of the things he says. His humor is a little bit odd. So I'm going to see what trouble I can stir up. It's... I like to play ambivalent characters or characters that have a double edge. It makes much more interesting for me. That's why
you mean
I like work. Huh?
Andre, perhaps?
Well, yes, yeah, and I work with John Black character, you know. He was huffing and puffing so much that so relaxed that I just thought he's going to shoot himself in the foot with all that bravado. I mean, as much as I liked him, I mean, you know, he was a good guy. But sometimes, you know, when you're in the character, as I was,
the characters didn't like each other.
No, they didn't, and it wasn't difficult to dislike him either. You know, the John Waynes of the world I don't find appealing as people. I mean, I love John Wayne, but I'm talking about people who huff and puff, and I don't see much substance inside. As one actor to another, you can always tell when another actor is nervous. But I hear he's gone now, huh? Great.
Yeah.
Reoccurring. Yeah. He was put on reoccurring. Not actually fired, but reoccurring, what they call reoccurring. Not contract, I suppose.
Well, I wouldn't exactly use the word firing. You know, actors don't.
No.
I mean, they may be let
right.
go only because of story.
Let go.
But it's,
no.
There's a different
that has
point
a different
actor.
Connotation. Yeah.
Yes. You know, I remember when they always said I was fired again, and I thought, what did I do wrong? Usually you fire somebody.
Yeah, there's the connotation is all wrong there. It's just story ends, whatever the
killed.
Situation might be. You know, yeah.
Yeah, and also, you know, every time a new writer or head writer or producer come along, they have their own tapestry to form. And sometimes because I'm a little more international than some of the characters, they couldn't, you know, their imagination wouldn't go there, I don't think.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I have a quick question for you, and I realize
Anna. I'm so sorry to interrupt, but Dama just called in.
Dama only has a short time to talk to Teo because she's at work. So she's on
the phone.
I'm sorry.
Dama is.
Okay, go ahead, Dama.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, everybody. Hello, Teo.
Hi, Dama.
Hi, Marianne.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Carrie.
Yeah, that was...
Hey, Rose.
Hi.
Hey, Dama. Hey, Dama.
Hey, Dama, how's the family doing? Have you heard anything more in Syria?
No, we just got a couple of messages earlier in the week because George's birthday was on Monday, but we haven't really heard anything, but George has been watching the news very closely the last several days, and it's now getting closer to where he is from, which is Latakia, so it's concerning, but we haven't really heard much from them.
Yeah, that situation, I mean, having been there in Syria, I was always followed by the secret police. And when I arrived in the country with when I became an American citizen, they threw the passport in my face. They were not particularly friendly lot. And even when I went to the hotel, they told me that American Express was persona non grata. And they were just rude. So I just took attitude and reminded them that that's why they were sitting on that side of the desk and I was sitting on this side. They were there to provide service for their customers, not to alienate them. But, you know, they just had that attitude. But I did meet some wonderful Christians there, I must say, who took me to some of the great spots of Syria. It's just sad that they even bombed one in Aleppo, I think. They bombed one of the mosques and they also bombed the tall tower of one of the castles. I mean, these people are just unconscionable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's everything in its path, and they just don't care exactly. So, yeah, we don't know what's going to happen. It's not good.
You know, it's just
all
amazing.
All we can do is hope for the best.
We have no idea what it looks like. I mean, we see shots of it on the news, but when I went to Lebanon in the south part of it, in a place called Sur, and saw what bullet-ridden and bombed buildings look like, it was just, it was like a big movie set. It's just amazing that they've destroyed their culture.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's a real shame. They just keep bombing homes to death. There's nothing left of it, and they just keep on and keep on and keep on.
Well, how do they bomb mosques, kill women and children, and then go to pray to Allah? I just don't understand the hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't either. I think it's so chaotic, too, that both sides are just not aware that they're destroying things. You know, I think that's part of it because, you know, they're just trying to get at each other. And so if something's in the way, it just it falls fate to it. It just suffers. So there's really nothing we can do. So all we can do is just hope for the best and say prayers. You know, we can't really talk to them because there's not much they can say, you know, and we don't want them to risk their lives in doing so. So,
but people,
you know, they
get
just
caught
try
up
to go
in the
on
middle,
and live
that's
their life and, you know, and do the best they can. But it's going to get hard now because their area wasn't so hot for a while, and there's a lot of people that are actually fleeing to that area now because it has been safer. So anyway,
yes,
and that's
well,
kind of near where Assad is from, and so they're starting to really ramp up on the Alawite communities and going after them now, so with the Free Army, that is. And
you also have
so,
Al-Qaeda there now.
Yeah.
Al-Qaeda's there.
Yep.
So they're just terrible. I mean, what a group of lost souls. Anyway, but listen, it was nice to talk to you. Give my best to your family and to your husband, George, and just we'll have him in our prayers. It's just shocking. But anyway, it's nice to talk to you, Dema.
Yes, thank you, Teo. Take care.
You too.
Right.
Enjoy your work.
Oh, okay, I will. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye, Dema.
So?
So we have another caller?
I was.
Do you have a question?
What,
yeah,
I was
you
about
guys.
To
go
ask
ahead.
Earlier, Teo.
Mm-hmm.
I was just curious. I know you work out. I know you like to work out and everything. I was just curious. Like, do you? I know for me, I like when I get on the treadmill, I have to have music, or else I will be bored out of my mind. Do you listen to any music, or do you, when you're exercising or working out? What is your, do you like complete quiet? Do you like to listen to something or do you like to watch something? I'm just curious what you like to do in that regard.
Well, I have a gym downstairs in the house and mm-hmm. I've got my stereo there as well. And I can't exercise without music. It bore
yeah,
me.
Either. yeah.
So I understand why the music, it's not like music that gets me going and wanting to pump hard. It's really very relaxed music. It may be a score from a film, or it may be some
okay.
folk music, or it may be some spiritual music. But
yeah.
I don't know. It's like an old friend. When my other stereo broke down and I couldn't play the music, I just didn't have the incentive. And so
mm-hmm.
I went, raced out and got another stereo. So I go down there 4 times a week and do about a 40-minute workout.
Mm-hmm. Do you weights and cardio, or what do you
weights and cardio? A lot of stretching.
Good.
Yeah, in between. But I, you know, you have to be warmed up a bit. Otherwise, when you're lifting weights, you can hurt yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So,
sure.
Try to do that before I start. But stretching is very important. It's just amazing how I've learned to crack my body. In areas that are stiff in the back, especially, by reaching a certain way in my body, and I can just click it on, and So, you know, if you can get in touch with how your body operates, all the better for your mind and for your spirit. So,
yeah.
You know, especially
you'll be meditating too, don't you? Meditating?
Yes, this morning I had a meditation. It went on for about 45 minutes, and I thought, I think it must have been my ego popping up saying it's enough already.
What ego?
No, you don't have an ego.
You don't have an ego.
Disagreeing. No, because everybody has an ego, and it depends on how you
put it. Some are just bigger than others, though, right?
Yes. Yeah. And especially in this town, the egos are amazing. when you hear them talking sometimes, I mean, some actors just talk about themselves and their credits. They don't tell you anything else. They don't even ask you anything. Or they're there because they think someone at your party is going to help them with their careers. I mean, it's interesting to how the ego plays with people in this industry. But, of course, in every industry, there's the ego. I mean, you can't reach the top of your field without having a healthy ego.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, so then what do you, since you listen to, you said folk music and some, other relaxing music while you're working out, just in regular life, just listening to music in general, who are some of the people that you tend to go back to, the people that you enjoy or that tend to be people that you gravitate towards musically?
Well, there's a singer, an international singer called Mario Frangoulis, who you see sometimes on KCET, or I saw him recently at the Pasadena Civic Auditorium. He's got a great voice, and he sometimes does interesting duets, but he sings in all languages, but it's a fabulous voice, and I just, I love his choice of music. He said it takes him 2 years to select the songs that he's going to sing, and I like McKennett. You know, she's the Irish folk singer.
I don't know her.
Oh, McKennett? Oh, my God, she's absolutely... The instruments.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
Check it out on iTunes.
Yeah,
I love pure voices. I tend to like pure voices and pure, of any kind. So that'd be interesting. Yeah, I'd like to check that out.
I do like my soundtracks. I like Georges Delerue, who's one of the most famous composers from France, and his music is haunting in his movies. So
I
will play that.
Right.
You
like movie soundtracks, you say? Different movie soundtracks?
Yes, I can't say the soundtracks these days are what they used to be. I haven't bought a soundtrack for a main movie in a while. I like the soundtrack from The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. I like the soundtracks there. I thought they were wonderful. I like Braveheart. I thought the music in that was great. But I like to watch things that are more or less... I like Crusaders and adventure movies. That's what my favorites are. This is the worst summer I've ever seen in movies. And we keep saying every year, they just keep making these obnoxious movies about, for young kids. And then you're thinking to yourself... What are you educating them with? Why aren't they bringing in some movies where we used to understand humanity? No, the Europeans are doing that, but we're not. We will in the fall. We'll get a few. The Butler's coming out this weekend.
I'd like that.
Historic drama.
I want to go see that.
Like movies of the Civil War,
I love
the Civil War. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I like things Americana. Traveled all over.
What's the last good movie you saw?
What's that?
What's the last good movie that you saw that you really enjoyed?
Oh, the Blue Jasmine, the Woody Allen film with Cate Blanchett.
Oh, okay.
That's a great movie. I mean, a great study. She's probably going to be nominated. It's just one of those terrific written films and interesting cast. That I like. But I haven't seen anything lately that other than that that I'd like this summer. A lot of disappointment. I did like Star Trek, though. I thought the Star Trek this year was very good.
Oh, Star Trek. Yeah, I'm a Star Trek fan. I like the series, the whole series.
Yeah. But so I'm waiting now for my sister to come. So I was wondering where I was going. She's going to come to L.A. She lost her husband a year ago, so she wants to come and spend time with
me. Yes. That would be nice.
So I thought I would take her to the Getty Museum. I think she'd like that by the water.
Oh, my gosh. Do you know that was actually on my list to ask you about? That is too weird because I love the Getty. What is your favorite in terms of the standard things that they have? I know they change exhibits and they bring in different things. What is, like, when you go to the Getty, that's one of my favorite places in L.A., what are the areas or the exhibits that you like to visit each time you're there, if there is one?
Well, I hadn't been to the Getty, the villa, since it been restored. The building is absolutely fantastic. The exhibit they have now, the Sicilian exhibit, there is a statue, one of the most famous in the world, from the 5th century BC that was Greek Sicilian. It's just breathtaking. I like coins. I like to go and look at coins. And I've collected some when I was in Syria and Lebanon. But I like, you know, I'm not as much into the contemporary stuff. I like classical art, Renaissance art.
Mm-hmm.
So those things always attract me. The L.A. County Museum has kind of had it, as far as I'm concerned. I don't like their collection at all. I mean, you know, the Metropolitan New York is great because you've got such diversity and also wealth. But the Getty, the only thing that disappoints me in the Getty Museum, wherever it is in Brentwood, is that their collection, there's more building than there is art. And so
that's true, yeah.
You know, I'm not always.
Did you ever go to the original location in Malibu? I think it was in Malibu before they moved it up on the hill. It was like a Greek villa or an Italian villa. I think they had.
They had to stop because the building, the foundations were beginning to collapse because, you know, it's a granite, but it's decomposed, and so you could see where the dirt was falling away and exposing the foundation, so that wasn't good. So they thought it would be dangerous because a lot of buildings along the Pacific Coast Highway that were built on the edge like that had fallen down. Okay. So, but the new one is just, I mean, it's so romantic.
The views are great from up there, too. We can really see so much of the city from there. My favorites are the Impressionists and the Dutch paintings, I think, are my favorites. But what's that?
I like Impressionistic art.
I was just curious. It's just funny that you mentioned that because I was actually really specifically going to ask you about the Getty and see if you go there. So very cool.
Yeah, I do.
So your sister will really enjoy that, I think. That'll be neat.
Did you see on the news where somebody destroyed or touched a hand of a statue and it broke the hand off?
Oh.
It broke a finger off.
Broke a finger,
Oh, my gosh. I didn't see that.
And that finger that broke off.
You know.
The finger that broke off is not the original anyway. But they're going to find this money. I don't know why people touch those things. You know, they don't understand that the acidity in there. When you touch a bronze or a marble, it can help deteriorate it over the years. So people have to be a little more respectful. I mean, you don't have to touch it, even though I like touching things, but you have to respect
it. It got you in trouble one time, right?
Yeah, but I was only 12. I didn't know any. All I wanted to do was lift this sarcophagus, the lid of sarcophagus, so I could touch the mummy. That's the hair and the nails, which I couldn't believe what they looked like. And then, of course, I was caned by my headmaster for being insubordinate.
Oh, The British Museum has an the Egyptian exhibit is so amazing in there. I just fell in love with that in the British Museum.
The British Museum is absolutely great. The only trouble is, and I've written it in my book about the Elgin marbles and how they stole them and promised to come back in a bit.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had a big...
But the Greeks are bitter.
Yeah.
But I mean, they have the Rosetta Stone or things like that. I mean, it's just amazing.
Were the biggest looters in the 19th century, the British...
Yeah.
The French, German.
And the German.
And we were the worst in the 20th century.
Wasn't it Schliemann or somebody like that? It was German, I think, that found Troy or the levels. They were excavating the levels near where they think Troy was or something like that.
They found it in a place called Hiselik, which had 9 mounds on top of each other,
levels.
And they didn't
levels,
almost.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So it was between 6 and 7A of the rubble that they found the lost city of Troy, and the gold that ended up going to was stolen out of Germany after Schliemann donated, and then it went because the Russians trained a lot of their men for looting, and so 5 million pieces were stolen from Europeans.
Oh.
And they're in the basement of the Pushkin Museum, and of course they won't admit those things. They've given about 2 million away and said that was it, but they kept the other 3 million pieces, some of the greatest art. That's why those museums in Russia are so amazingly full with incredible art, but you know, they're looters, those superpowers, and you've got small countries like Greece and Italy and Egypt that so much was stolen from them. And when you go to museums and you think, wow, you know, when they built the Acropolis and you had all those Elgin marbles, you realize that the concept by the artists had a certain image to it and a certain story. And when you deface it like that, you take away the real story. And so... You know, it's the crown of Athens, and but the British are the British, what can I say, diplomacy. So is anyone waiting, or is this it?
Carrie, is anybody on the line, or does Carrie have a
line?
Yeah, does Carrie want to ask a question?
She's screening calls.
Okay, well then I'll ask a question.
Yeah, I'm enjoying talking about machines.
Oh yeah. So about your Soap Opera Digest interview. That was very interesting. Do you enjoy doing that?
Did I like doing that?
Yeah, I thought it was nice. I mean, great to see you, you know, them interviewing you again.
Well, you know, she's a wonderful editor, Stephanie, and I mentioned the book to her. She said that she would publicize my book in the magazine when it's going to be released. So that would be nice. I think I was the only actor that ever took her out for lunch.
Mhm. Yeah, I liked how you said about the Days chapter dodging bullets and how you were so brutally honest in the book, which I thought was great.
Yeah,
how Dave supported you, all your travels and that.
Yeah, I was also kind to...
Right.
...and Corday, but certain other people. I mean, you can't get along with everybody, but I had a pretty good relationship with people there. But, you know, you don't know who has dislikes of you, or sometimes people can't forget that you're just doing a character. And then they take it personally. If you know, Stephen Nichols was someone like that. You know, you just, it was like a war. He would come into my house in, as a demerit, and he would sit at the, put his feet up on the coffee table or make himself a cocktail. And I'm thinking, he's breaking all the boundaries.
But it worked. Didn't you think it worked with, between the characters?
Well,
chemistry?
It wasn't in the script. It was something he was doing it to provoke, and he did provoke. I mean,
yeah, and he got a good reaction from you.
Huh?
I thought, and he'd get a good reaction from you.
Well, yes. I mean, you know how the DeMera house was. It was supposed to be a fortress,
yeah.
And anybody in.
Anybody walks in, yeah.
Oh, yes. And when there was a knock on the door and they got rid of all the maids and the butlers, I had to pretend I was still rich, so I would say, where is the butler?
Yeah. You just throw that line in, right?
Yeah, I would throw lines like that. And I said, oh, my God, the help is not what it used to be, as I opened the door. I just... cover my tracks like, you know, the butler was elsewhere.
Yes. Yes, we're missing those Damaris. And I liked how you, your idea of coming back as a ghost. That would be great.
Anyway, yeah, well, you come back, we would love it.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah.
We miss you terribly. well, I Carrie, I think there's a caller that wants to talk with Teo. You want to bring them on?
Mm-hmm.
Carrie? I don't know if she could hear. She's screen call,
oh.
So she can't hear me sometimes.
Okay. I just heard her. Do you have a caller?
What is this call? Oh.
Hello?
Okay. Hi, can you
guys
hear me?
Somebody. Yep.
Hello?
We can hear you.
Okay,
yes, hello.
There's Tony.
Sounds like Tony.
Yes.
Hello, am I being received?
Is
anyone hearing
you?
Me?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
How could I not hear you?
Uh-oh.
Of course.
I'm here.
I
Hello?
Can hear you. How are you?
I'm fine, if you can hear me.
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I thought you couldn't hear me. I thought I was,
no,
I was set adrift in the netherworld or something. What's up, Teo?
Yes, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. I'm preparing tomorrow night's feast, so I'm cooking a feast for some friends who are coming over. That's what I've been doing this afternoon, and trying to learn my lines, which I don't particularly like doing, but, you know, it's part of the game. I wish my memory...
Well, that
it's
is
just,
so cool, because that's what I wanted to ask you about. I heard through the grapevine last year that you were an incredible cook, and I wanted to talk to you about your cuisine and what you like to do and what styles you preferred, and you just opened the door by saying you were doing a feast.
Well, you know, when I was a kid, I never liked my mother's cooking. She always cooked the vegetables to death, and the meat was so overdone, and she just wasn't a great cook. She was a great mother, but not. And so I'd go and see friends and watch them cook when I was like 18, and then eventually when I worked at the UN for a year, I mixed with a lot of UN people, and I used to go to their houses and watch the chefs. And, you know, it's... one of the great pastimes. You know, I never understand how people do not eat sensibly or do not know how to cook. I mean, I have friends who don't even know how to boil an egg. And so I said to them, well, then watch. But they're not interested. They like to be served.
Well, I think that people have gotten into the habit of, it's got to be fast, it's got to be now, I don't have time because of the time constraints. I see on Facebook all the time people extolling the virtues of a recipe, and it's nothing more than three types of cans opened up and thrown into a pot and sloshed about with some liquid, and they call it soup. And it's bizarre that we've lost the ability to enjoy cooking and to sharing food with others.
And getting things fresh and cooking it from scratch, I mean, it's a wonderful way to improvise. It's a great thing for the memory as well. I like to just open the refrigerator doors if I have an unexpected guest and say, okay, what can I put together? But recently they were talking about people who cook and eat at home as opposed to going out to restaurants or fast foods. And they said that those who cook at home are much healthier because they know what's in the food, whereas when you go to restaurants or fast foods, you never know what's in there. And so at least you control your diet that way, and better for your weight as well. But You know, food's a wonderful luxury. It's one of the can be one of the most erotic things to do in life is to eat.
What is your personal favorite? Do you have a favorite style or favorite nationality? Mine is French. I'm actually was a personal French chef for a while, and so I love especially the south of France, the country region. Do you have a particular area that you really gravitate towards or that you prefer?
Well, you know, I do like Oriental cooking. I like the simplicity of it, Japanese. But for me, I do a lot of soups, and I do them from scratch. I'll get an organic chicken and get the broth from that and cook it for a couple of hours. And then basically I discard the chicken, and then I either do a lentil or a white bean soup, sometimes a mushroom soup, and that's the base. And so, and then I like shiitake mushrooms in soups. So I like it, and also I'll put chard in there and just to bring some color to it. But, you know, it's, I mean, I like lamb. I like rack of lamb. I like pastas. I'm not a big meat eater. So when I do lamb or have a steak, it's maybe once every 3 months. I eat a lot of fish. I like to grill my fish or broil it. I like branzino, but I like whole fish. And a lot of people in this country don't like when you present them a whole fish with a head and tail on it. They get like, oh my God, what am I supposed to do with this? You know, they want it filleted, simple and easy. To me, it's digging into the fish and eating it the way it's meant to eat. But people get kind of, oh, cut the head off for me, will you? I don't want to see it.
I know. I mean, that animal gave its life for your enjoyment and for your nourishment. So it just thank it and keep going. I mean,
that wouldn't bother me.
Yeah.
That would bother you?
I ate octopus, so, you know, that was fine.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, Tao, it looks like I was completely wrong a few months ago about GH calling you back to reprise Victor. It looks like I'm swallowing that one, and that's the first one I've been wrong on. So,
they have discussed my return, but I don't know when that will be, and I don't know if I will do it because I'm enjoying doing the films. I don't know. Yeah. Soap operas were great to do, but you know there was the gold period of soaps in the 80s and 90s. I think after that it became Fast and Furious and picking people for the how they look and not because they're better actors, you know.
Yes, I know.
My neighbor here next door to me, Will DeVries, he just went on GH. And he said that my name came up in conversation. He heard it. But, you know, it's fine. His work's fine, I suppose. It's not. I don't find it exciting. I mean, the days when we had, you know, James and Joe and myself and Anna and Deidre and all that, we had such fun, and everybody tried to, you know, upstage the other because nobody wanted to get beaten in a scene, and it was always great fun.
Yeah.
But now it's like, you know, learn your lines and walk towards the camera or turn or whatever, but that whole world has changed only because of the speed of it. You know, when you're doing 8 shows a week, 5 were enough, but to do 8 and all that dialogue. And, you know, when writers see that you can handle dialogue, they love to give you the big speeches.
Yeah.
Well, you can carry the boss, so.
Oh, God, it was. I the script across the room.
You turned crap into gold.
Right.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah.
I was paid to make it better than what it was, and
right, and you did.
You know, I enjoyed the challenge.
Oh, yeah.
I was working with Joe or Leanne. I like working with Deidre. She and I always had a good relationship. Allison Sweeney was fine. what are you doing?
Lauren Coslow. Lauren Coslow.
Oh, she was fine.
I loved working with you.
Oh, my God.
Who wouldn't
wonderful.
Love working with you?
Lauren really enjoys working with you.
Who wouldn't love working with you? There were a few, right?
I remember one time smacked Alison Sweeney's ass as she went by.
Oh, I remember that.
And in the scene, and she took it so personally. I went, oh, honey, I'm just in character. I'm Italian. You know, Italians love to smack ass. Not like it was the most ass I'd ever seen. But I wanted to smack it. I just did it just to get a reaction from her. So,
But and that would have been perfect for the role of Sammy, you know, being a spoiled brat.
And any of us would have loved to have been smacked on the head by you, Tony, or Andre.
I would have come. I would have turned around and come back and said, do it again.
Only harder.
Yeah, harder.
Spontaneous. Although she was very good when I was the clown, because I knew she didn't like me touching her anywhere personal. You know, she was in character, and so the more she was offended, the more I just jumped.
Yeah, you jumped right into bed with her.
That was on your Emmy reel. Wasn't that on your Emmy reel, the clown scene?
That was creepy and sexy
it
all at the same time.
It was very creepy. Oh, very creepy.
But sexy, too. I mean, yeah.
No, I'm not going to go there.
No? No? Okay, maybe because I just knew who was behind the clown. So maybe that's why. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
That was during the era when Andre was the nun, too. So you've played both a nun and a priest. Pretty interesting.
And a priest a couple of different times.
Oh.
And also an old nurse.
That's right.
And then,
oh, yeah, the nurse. Mm-hmm.
And then the one that I said that I looked like a hooker from Brazil. that was the other one. But I didn't like the director I was working with. When I had the nun's habit on, I said, I thought because when I did Mission, you know, I used to take the masks off of the disguises so the audience could see me, and he didn't want me to do it. And I said, why? He says, because it's stupid. And I said, the whole thing is stupid.
Yeah.
So,
you got me running around like a nun. Are you kidding? This whole thing.
I mean, like, you know, like I look like a real nun, for instance. So I didn't care. I didn't even listen to him because when the take came and they were rushing, I just took the whole top of my head, the stuff off my head off, and I know he was freaking out in the booth.
the other time,
I don't know if you remember, where the guy who was the right-hand guy of Stefano, I forget his name, he used to wear a toupee, and I used to look...
Rolf?
Huh?
Rolf? Yeah, Rolf.
Rolf, yes. And he had a toupee on. And I look at it and I thought, that is the world's worst toupee. And he came to me and I'm thinking, is that slipping down his head? And I just said, I'm fed up. So I grabbed the toupee off his head while he was speaking and threw it on the floor. And we started, and he was in shock. He didn't know I was going to do it.
That's a shit, sir.
You are.
Yeah.
Explore, explore.
What were you? So did he just keep going with the lines, or did he get upset, or what?
It's sad that his mouth dropped open, and well, the producers loved it. So hysterical in the booth, and landed on the floor like a dead rat.
See, you need to write a whole book on Days, not just, like, one chapter.
Yes,
You need all your stories, or you have so many stories, great stories of your time at Days over all those years.
Yes, they were good. They were good days. I mean, I have no regrets about
the tangos. The tangos with various women, with Kate Anna.
Yes, I liked it with Kate. It was great fun, and she and I really, we always spend time together. I like going into a dressing room and chatting up the latest stuff that was bothering us. We used to have an exchange, she's just great. She's consistent, you know. I don't like moody buggers, and you don't know whether in a or not a good mood. She was always consistent, just like Leanne. But there are some other actors who just, you know, bring their troubles on a set, and you can tell. But Drake was pretty good with that. You know, he was pretty consistent. Peter Reckel, he was okay. Christian Alfonso was lovely. Joe was had a variation of temperament.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Mm-hmm.
A variation of temperament. I'm going to have to remember that. I could use that in my life.
Oh, but your scenes are the best together.
Someone so
had you
a variation of temperament.
Well, and Alison Sweeney, she was pleasant, I suppose. I liked her children. I thought she has lovely children.
Aww.
And
she's on the cover of a magazine this week. I just saw her at the store.
With her family. Mm-hmm.
Well, this
she's
one was
got a lovely family and a husband.
Yeah.
Well, her husband's also very nice. He's a policeman.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really a lovely family.
David?
I must, you know. But, you know, she's maturing well, I think. But I don't watch the show, so I don't know what they're doing anymore.
How much?
Marianne told me what's going on.
Yeah.
We miss having you on there.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Were you aware that Eileen Davidson quit a couple weeks ago?
Yes. I wonder why.
I don't know. She said really was she was working too much and wanted a break. I don't know.
Well, she is on every single day practically, which
she's on about every day.
I certainly, for me, as far as characters, there are a lot of other Demiras I'd rather see on every day than that particular Demira.
Than Kristen.
I think we have another caller. Carrie, did you want to bring on another call?
Well, Tony, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Sorry.
Do you have any more?
Sorry. No problem. Hey, we've got great weather up here. No problem. Hey,
we've got
great weather up here in Sacramento. What's it like down there in L.A.?
The weather here is nice. The morning's a little overcast, but then it clears up beautifully. No, it's great.
I just can't believe
the summer's almost over.
Yeah. Weather up here has been, we've been in the low 80s for the last several days. It's been really nice. Low 50s in the morning. Yeah, beautiful weather up here.
Yeah, well, I'd like to get out. I've been invited to go to Greece, but I'm waiting for my book and what we're doing with it. I have to meet for the cover. And so until I finish that, I can't really go anywhere. This is taking forever. I mean, the edit took 2 months. But the editor's a lovely girl, and so is the publisher. So they'll be back next week, and so we go to the next phase. So, and then I can take a trip somewhere.
Yeah,
staying in
LA
is nice. Thank God I've got a lovely home there.
You need to get out of LA for a while.
You need to do a book tour, Tao.
Yes, a book tour.
Sacramento.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should do it. Yeah, I'd like to do that. And I've been invited to go to Greece as well. I'd like to do that. But no, it'd be a wonderful way to see America again. And,
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and go.
For all
and,
your fans across the country to see you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would like to see, you know, some of the Southerners too. And with I like their history and their manner. And I also love New Yorkers, you know. So, I mean, everywhere. And the people in the U.S. are great. So I'll just go where I can. Oh, and maybe do read a chapter or something, or talk about my journeys and what the book's about and all the trouble I get into.
Yeah, because your journeys presentation is wonderful. You need to do that again, along with the book.
You know, that was just a remarkable evening, only because I'd never done it on a stage for 2 hours and talked to an audience that most of you didn't know, and that they stayed to listen to those stories. And that's what gave me the incentive to write the book, because of suddenly all the places I'd been, and people were very interested from someone's journey, not just reading some part of history. And so I would study up on a place before I left, and then I would go and explore it. And sometimes it was great and sometimes dangerous, but, you know, the book is about, you know, what happened to me in Syria, and what happened to me in Israel when the Mossad surrounded me and thought I was a terrorist again. But, you know, they recognize your face, but they can't quite place you. Then they think you're on the wanted list.
Mm-hmm. They just can't place where you are, what background you are, I think.
You're
not
always
sure.
You're always on our watch.
Mysterious.
Well, it was good because when I came through customs one day, because I'd been to all these places, I said to the woman at customs, she said, could I get an autograph? And I said, I'll tell you on one condition. She says, what? I said, if you will look on the computer and see if I'm on any list or anything because of where I've been. And she looked, she said, no, you're totally clear. And I went, oh, that's good. Because sometimes when you go to those places, they want to know why you've gone, you know. And,
right.
Right.
And the other day when I went to the museum, it was funny. I was coming in the elevator with my friend Joe and another Italian, and this woman came running out. Her husband was moving something. I think he worked at the museum. And she says, oh, my God, Tony DiMera, can I have a photograph? And the husband shouts out, you can take a picture with him. Just don't kiss him.
Did she listen?
That would just stop me.
I have a choice.
That wouldn't stop me.
Well,
do you get that a lot? Teo, do you get that a lot?
You get
coming up and calling you by your character's name?
Character's name?
Oh, yeah, that happens too, you know. Mm-hmm. That's how people see you. And I don't correct it. I just allow it to be what it is. Yeah. You know, if somebody's they just want to think that they're meeting the real person of the character that you're playing. They believe it's that real. So,
well, I think
you know,
especially with daytime, it's there. You're in their home every day when you're on, and it's like they get to know the characters, and that's
instead of an
name. They're like in the characters' lives every day, kind of thing. I mean, we tend to know the actors' names a lot more, but like I have a friend who's watched General Hospital for 30 or 40 years, and I can tell her, oh, Ian Buchanan's on or whatever. She has no idea who that is, but she knows Duke Lavery. You know, it's like,
they do, yeah.
So most people in the general audience really, they just know the characters' names. They really don't know, you know, some of the actors' names and stuff. So it's kind of interesting.
It's a serious thing.
Yeah.
Are really serious. We know the actors' name.
We know.
Well, for those of us who are on the other end, you know, when they mistake you for somebody else.
Yeah.
I remember there was a caller, Manas, who was a pretty good television film actor in the 80s and 90s. And I went to the Oscars, my only time I went to the Oscars, and I remember these fans ran up and saying to me, oh, Aman, we just love you. And I turned and I said, would you sign this autograph? And I said, no. And I walked away. She said, that's the last time we're ever going to watch you, Aman. And I went.
Aman Asante?
Aman Asante?
Yes, Aman Asante.
Aman Asante.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, that's funny. So you basically just ruined his fan base.
That's
okay.
A big difference. Yeah.
He lost 8 fans that evening.
That's funny.
I did it on purpose, actually.
I know.
And I remember in those days I didn't like taking photographs. I thought, oh, not one more, another photograph. And, you know, they haunt you. And I remember for running down saying, Teo, can we have a picture? And I said, no, thanks. And he goes, who the F do you think you are? But I said, no. I couldn't believe it. It's funny because over the years I befriended him and we used to laugh about that whole conversation.
Oh my God.
I said it's that it was my friend who'd been nominated, it was her night and I just didn't want to take away from it, you know, and pausing.
Yeah.
It was her night and so that's how I did it. But anyway.
Okay. You just stop and think how many times you had your picture taken over the years, either professionally or on a fan event or with fans, friends, quite a lot.
You know, I just found some photographs, some slides that I took in the 90s that I'd never developed. And I went, oh, my God, I've had these pictures. So, I mean, thousands. And so I'm going to probably put them up on Facebook.
Oh, that's cool.
From the
90s? Oh, that would be awesome.
From what, your vacations or from days? Yeah.
No, when I was doing days, it's... It's near my house up in the hills, and I couldn't believe I was wearing the same jacket in every picture. I thought, God, we could have had a variation, but we didn't.
That's funny.
Photographs are nice, so So I thought, oh, good, I can develop these and put them up, because Facebook people like seeing older pictures or pictures. And that's why I have.
Yeah, we enjoy it.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
So especially ones we haven't seen before. There's always, it's always nice to see different ones we haven't seen.
Yeah, you know, some of those pictures are in my book. I can't help it. They, you know, Laurie took some of the photographs off, and I had
certain posted some
before the book. Yeah, and I said to her, don't take any more off my site, because some of those pictures will be in my book, and I don't want to duplicate them too much.
Mm-hmm. Be surprised when they read the book.
Yeah, and the meaning behind.
Mm-hmm.
So who's next?
Okay, I'm going to go with Miss Jan. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Jan.
Hello. Hey, Jan.
Oh, my God, I didn't think you were going to make it.
Jan! I missed the whole beginning. Did we talk about what you're drinking?
Did we talk about what?
What you're drinking.
No, I'm just having a...
Do you have a nice stiff cocktail?
Yes, I said I was having a glass of white wine because they drank the tequila. You know, the tequila you girls sent me, I put it out on the table. I couldn't believe how people just lapped it up. I said, you know, it's a delicacy. You don't have to be in a hurry.
It didn't last long, did it?
Oh, my God.
Was that during the game of Truth and Dare? That was Truth and Dare night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Truth and Dare night. Oh, my God.
Truth and Dare night.
I'm guessing you
didn't tequila.
With Costco nuts and dip.
Yeah.
Everyone
did you have Costco dip and Costco dip and nuts that night? No?
Oh. I had a Greek.
Of course not.
I don't.
We just like to give you a hard time.
Well, I can do that if but no, I had what they call galo tomburico, which is a Greek custard and with honey over it. And so they had that as dessert. And, of course, they ate the entire tray. I must say, young people are crazy. I didn't know what it is. They have to get drunk in order to numb themselves. I thought, how do they get home?
That's scary.
Yeah.
So, Jan, how are you doing?
I'm doing just great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You know, it's part of it is waiting right now on things, and that's the thing. But I'm having a nice meeting tomorrow, and then around the 25th I'll start the film. And then the book sometime this month will come to some finalization. And so everything's fine.
The cover, right? You're going to be working on the cover?
Yes, I'm going to work on the cover. I think they want a contemporary photograph and an old one in the back. I'm not sure if he's stepping into the light. Because, you know, I think it has a double meaning. It's a spiritual meaning as well as an actor looking for his light. So I don't know what the cover's going to look like. But what was interesting, somebody sent me to a psychic who is from Bulgaria. And he said to me, by the way, the cover of your book is going to be white. And I said, oh, really? We haven't discussed it. So then about a week later, I spoke to the publisher, and she said, oh, I was speaking to the artist who's going to design the cover, and he says it's got to be white.
Oh, my gosh.
We got it right.
So
yeah.
I thought that was it.
Fantastic.
So maybe it'll be a white cover. I don't know.
Do you have input?
Oh, yes.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah. I mean... yeah, and this woman's pretty good, I think. Judy Poffer, her name is. She's a publisher. She's very good. She does a lot of rock stars books. She just finished doing the two women. Oh, God, those two women who sang in the 80s and 90s.
Heart? No.
Thank you, Heart.
Heart.
Yeah,
I
she
love them.
Finished doing a Heart, and I think there was one on Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and she doesn't have a book like mine, and so, You know, I think the last two chapters I wrote came out very well. I think I'm improving as a writer as I go along.
I
have a tendency sometimes of reversing sentences, and I had to learn how to do it properly. And but you know, she says you write like you talk, so
yeah.
It's conversational in a way. I try to make it as present as possible.
But certainly,
the chapter on days I thought came out well, and the one called Along the Path, which is my journey to America and meeting all the celebrities and historical figures that that crossed my path. And so that's the longer story. That's going to be the first chapter. That's a good one. I mean, you know, even when I worked with Robert Redford or Omar Sharif, or they're all interesting stories. And Lillian Gish and John Gielgud and having tea for an hour with
Jacqueline Kennedy.
I mean, that's the stories are all about those people that I met, and also my teacher Milton. And Doris is doing the introduction, Doris Roberts. So she's an old friend of mine.
Uh-huh.
So I asked if she would like to, and so she wrote a page about what she knows about me. She was very kind. So it's good. It's done. And so everything's finished. It's now about waiting for one more thing and then the cover. Cover takes a few weeks to design. So it takes a long time. You know, it takes a long time to write. It takes a long time to edit. And it takes a long time to get it published. But it's my first book, so now I'm looking at what the next one would be, and I'm wondering if I should. I wrote a treatment for a miniseries on Romeo and Juliet in 5 lifetimes, and so I was thinking maybe I'd write a book rather than a script.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's good.
Yeah.
What about the cookbook? Wasn't there a plan for a cookbook?
Another book?
For what?
Was there a plan for a cookbook?
Oh, yeah, there's that as well. You know, there's so many cookbooks.
Chef,
there's only one Teo cookbook, you know.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Well, my friend Valerie used to follow me around with a pad and pencil because she knew that I wouldn't remember what I did for cooking because it was always spontaneous. So she got all these recipes from over the years. I don't know. But yeah, that'll probably be something in the works. I was thinking I'd love to go to all those cultures I'd been to and take some recipes from those countries, you know, of the Middle East, Greece, Italy, and Australia, and the U.S., you know.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, how's your husband?
Oh, he's fine. He's right here. Say hi.
Hello.
Hello, sir.
How are you doing?
Fine. It's I just had my supper and I told my friends not to call me in these next hour or so because I was going to go to dinner with a lot of friends, and they said who, and I said I can't talk about it.
You were speaking just a few minutes ago, I mean, talking about food. I mean, I enjoy a lot of Italian food, and it seems like my specialty, and I learned this from an Italian woman from being in Naples, Italy for 2.5 years, watching her cook spaghetti sauce. And if two or three days, maybe at the most, but it seems like if it took longer to cook it, the better it tastes. And
yes.
I wanted to throw at you, Teo, is like, with me being totally blind, try foods that, you know, because there's a correlation between when you can see foods that you like to eat, but if you can't see them, try them anyways, because they're really good.
I know,
well,
so you go by the smell.
The smell.
That he didn't like, he now likes that he can't see them.
Yeah, you don't eat too much fried food. It's terrible for you.
No, we don't eat fried food.
Oh, no.
Grilled is so much better. And, you know, I love fish that way. But, fried foods, there's just too much saturated fat, and we have to look out on those things. It's very important to eat well and properly, I think, rather than what tastes good. You know, I tell people who don't want to eat broccoli, you know, not everything you eat is a lollipop. You know, so, but knowing how good it is for you is enough to eat it for me. And I do it the Greek way, which is just putting olive oil after I've steamed it and putting lemon juice on top with some herbs. But, you know, it's, you should eat broccoli, you know, four times a week, maybe Brussels sprouts. But all those dark green vegetables are very good for you. And so people should educate themselves on their food. And that's why they can balance their weight and balance how they feel. You know, food can make you, also gives you longevity and also gives good texture to your face. You feel better, you do things more, and food has a lot to do with it. And so feeding yourself in the mornings, breakfast should be your most important meal. And I get up in the mornings, it's down to the refrigerator saying, oh, I'm going to have some great food. And and so I like, you know, I like to do my yogurt and honeys and nuts, and I'll do watermelon juice up front, or I may, but I don't take it in the morning, I'll take it in the evening, and that's a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar and a little bit of warm water. Actually, if anybody wants to lose weight, that's one of the best ways to do it, is just get apple cider vinegar and a little bit of warm water, and it's, it just cuts the fat.
Yes, that's such a Dutch, the apple vinegar in the water, that's such a Dutch thing. That's amazing.
Yes, it, very simple things. If you take, if you're just, or if you want to, you can get two artichokes and boil those and then simmer them for 5 hours, and you drink the tea, and it's very good for cleansing your kidneys.
Ah, now that sounds like something to try.
Yes.
This is why they need Chef Teo cookbook.
And all these healthy hints.
Yes, there needs to be a Chef Teo cookbook with all these sideline hints.
You know, the way our parents used to cook, those from villages and that who only had the food from the land, found the herbs and the things that would help you if you're sick or if you're not feeling well. And I love all those recipes because they're basic. They've not been convoluted like we have these days, where people rather take a pill and fix something than really finding out what's the problem and fixing it through the way you eat and exercise. It's those things are very. Anyway, so any more questions?
No, I figured we talked about movies, we talked about music, art, and cooking. I just wondered if there was any other passions that we haven't covered.
Oh, no, yeah, with you, I'm surprised. I know how subtle you get.
It's one little naughty.
One little naughty, yes. And what is that little naughty?
What's naughty?
What passions haven't we covered?
We've covered everything that's necessary.
Well, we did dance. Thank you.
I don't really think you need to cover anything, Teo.
Boy, we've gone from one side of the
spectrum. We didn't ask what he was wearing. What are you wearing?
I'm trying to get naughty. Play along here, guys.
Okay, what are you wearing tonight?
At least, you know, I remember the days when I used to sit in the bathtub with a tequila and talk to people in the
tub. Remember those chats? They were so much fun.
We used to do those.
And what's changed? Why don't you do that anymore?
Because I've grown up.
He's grown up.
My growing
getting
up doesn't
old.
Mean...
Oh, no.
You wouldn't believe what I was wearing anyway.
Well, try me.
It's my Japanese armor.
Oh, brother.
I've got my shield in front of me ready.
Oh, yeah. gosh.
Any food from the States?
Oh, that's, no, I, you
know. What's an antique bed, Teo?
The antique bed?
I don't have an antique.
Oh, yeah, I remember that bed.
I have an antique bed in my guest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't you remember those chats?
Straddles,
oh, yeah.
Well.
The bed that just straddles well.
Made a lot of noise.
Yeah, I bet.
Well,
people,
we
don't you know what happens? One's rhythm
right.
gets confused.
Oh, and, you know, the offer still stands. You need to find that voice. I will be
I
your patient and lay on your couch, and you can play doctor.
Really?
Oh, the psychiatrist. That's a good way to get
I'll probably give you. I'll probably give you some anesthetic, and then you'll go out.
You can analyze. You can analyze me any day, Teo.
Yeah.
You know, my feet are curling. I wonder why.
Oh man.
We don't care. It's been more than a Teo, as always. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for coming on board, and nice to talk to you. Best to you, and best. What is your husband's name?
Harry.
What is it?
Harry. It's actually Paris.
Terry.
It's actually
Terry.
Our Paris. But we call
him Perry.
Yes, mm-hmm. We call him Perry.
Perry. Well, Perry, good night to you, sir, and Jan, you know. You should write something because you have very good humor. You could be really wicked.
Wicked wit.
Yeah.
Thanks for stirring things up, Jan.
Hey, Jan. I've lived with her for 4 years. You should write a book about running around scaring children.
Hey, that reminds me. I saw that you liked that Facebook post today.
Which one?
Well-behaved children are welcome. The rest will be made into pies.
I like that. I thought that was great.
That's funny.
Good.
Funny.
I like that.
That's funny.
That was awesome.
Sure. Huh?
I said that was awesome. I liked it too.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I liked the one about that kid with his little sister saying that she's going to marry him, and he was saying no.
Oh, yes, that was hilarious.
Oh, yeah, that was cute.
That was so funny. Just the believability and the fear already in that poor kid that some woman is
just like
him,
just like a 40-year-old. No, no.
Oh, my God. And she just kept stepping in there. I thought, this is like watching two children who are going to be monsters when they're adults.
Yes.
Yes.
So funny. And the mother teasing them. I mean, it was funny, though, I must say. But anyway, nice to talk to you, Jan.
It was wonderful talking to you. You have a wonderful night.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
Thanks, Dan.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye, Jan.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. I'm going to bring on Arlene and get the computer to work.
Wow. Is this Arlene or Arlene?
Arlene. Oh, it still didn't work.
Maybe you'll sing for us.
Okay. I'm working on it. It's just... Arlene? There we go. Arlene?
Man, it keeps kicking her out. That's really bizarre.
Is her phone?
No, it's a computer. Like, I had her on and then it put her back on mute. That's really weird. Keep trying. Okay, there we go. Arlene. Hello, Arlene? They put her back on mute again. Unbelievable. Let me put on Heather then, and we'll try Arlene again later.
Okay.
Hello? Hello?
There we go. Heather?
Yeah, they're trying to get someone on too.
Heather?
Technical problems.
Sure. Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on. Let me try Arlene again. All right, let me try Sabina. Sabina?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay.
Hi,
all right,
Sabina.
We'll go with you then.
Oh, we got somebody.
Yeah.
I think
Blog
Talk must be having issues or something. Hi, Teo. Yeah. It's Sabina. I wanted to call
and
say
hi.
How
are
real
you?
Quick. I'm good. How are you?
I'm getting there.
Yeah.
I can't believe the time. It's already 8:15. We've been talking for an hour and 15 minutes.
I know. I was actually just able to call because I was spending time with friends and just left. And it's actually 11 here in Atlanta, so it's 11 p.m. And I wanted to give you a call. I wanted to say hi and tell you how excited I am for your book, and I'm looking forward to your book coming out.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. You know, it's funny because it's the first book that's ever been written in my family, and my sister-in-law gets it more than anyone else, I think, because she's a reader. And they've been, you know, my brother is a teacher, and so they read some of my chapters, and he corrected some when I was there last. And it was so funny for people. He couldn't understand some of my phrasing. He says, "What does that mean?" And I said, "Well, read it again, you know." You know, sometimes I'll say, I want to thank those people who helped me see. And he says, "What does that mean?"
Mm-hmm.
He said, it should be see, feel, and whatever. And I said, "No, see for me is the whole picture." But as a teacher, he didn't think it was complete. So we'd go through those things, and then he'd say to me, "You can't write that in there. That's embarrassing." I said, "Why is it embarrassing?" "Well, you shouldn't say those things about people." So he was coming always from the ethic. And I was coming from my truth and being mischievous at times.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I didn't. There are certain things I didn't say, only because I think to myself, is this going to hurt the person if I say this?
Mm-hmm.
Is this person going to be uncomfortable? You know, there are a couple of people there, one who's dead and one who's about them, I didn't care. I didn't care what they thought because I didn't like the way they treated people, so it didn't bother me. But usually I don't like to give away people's trust. But so the book really is about all those places that I dared to go into when a lot of my friends thought I was being stupid. And no one would go with me, and then suddenly I had, when they saw that I'd come back with all these stories, there was an influx of friends saying, "Can I come with you?" And I'd go, "No," because there are some people you don't mind seeing every day, and there are those people you like to see every so often.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, you know, and so for me, you know, in some of these Arab countries I went to, I would never take a woman with me. You know, better to go with another guy because the guy can look after your back. A woman can't. You know, you're constantly protecting her. So going into these territories wasn't always easy. But, you know, I do talk about the history and about some of the great stories that came out of this culture. But, I enjoyed the way that I think when I read the book in the weekend over after the edit, I was pleased with it, actually. I thought it came out well.
Well, I'm excited to read it and see what it's like. So, I can't wait. I'm actually going to be meeting Jen Lilly in a couple weeks at a fan event. So, at a fan event here in Atlanta. There's going to be a few Days actors since she's on Days now. So, I'll have to. Wait, is that movie out already for everybody to see, the movie that you did?
What, Esther?
With her? Yeah.
Yes, it's on Netflix.
Okay, I'll have to try to catch it. I'll have to try to watch it before I go meet her. And I'll tweet you and let you know what I think when I do watch it. I've been so busy lately, I haven't had time to watch much, but I'll definitely look for getting to watch that before I go meet her.
The true story, you know... It takes place 1000 BC Persia, and I play probably one of the most wicked humans on earth.
What with you?
And I didn't have a pretty wife in it. When they brought the woman into my room to meet the actress, I looked at her and I went, this can't be my wife. I thought to myself, usually I, you know, for a person in his position, he was quite up there in society. And I, right away, I didn't like her, and I knew why. Every time we did the lines together, she'd step on my lines because she wasn't listening. And then I had to do a, they were talking about a love scene, and I went, oh, God, that's going to be difficult. So instead, what I did was I created this couch sequence. And so I pulled her into my arms where I didn't have to look at her, and we both could face the camera as we were playing.
That was perfect. But it was still romantic, though, Teo. You made it romantic, though, the way you played out. Mm-hmm.
Made it work.
Yeah.
You made it work.
You know, every actor who comes on and said, you've got to be gracious, too, and appreciative. But when you're doing a love scene, you like to think that your taste in the woman that you have lived and had 10 sons with was going to be something interesting, and I didn't think it was good casting. Nothing about the actress. It's just that, you know, men in power have great-looking women. That's why they're powerful, you know. But I think after all the years on Days and other shows I've done, I found it kind of interesting that they would cast her as my wife. But otherwise...
Then your daughter was supposed to be so unattractive, and she was beautiful.
Pretty. I know.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
I couldn't understand it. And that really made you even more nastier than people.
I did have some laughs, even with all the evil going on. That's why I like doing the priest, because I was playing a nice person. And now I'm going to play a psychiatrist, and I'm going to be another nice person, but I've got to find something shifty in him.
Yeah.
Nice is boring.
Come on.
Even Tony was kind of a great
character.
He wasn't all nice.
I was going to say, you play those characters very well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not like that in real life at all. What can I say?
Nope.
It must come from a place.
It's fantastic. That's why they love you. I said it's fantastic. That's why we love you.
Thank you, Eileen. It's I must say I did enjoy working with those two characters. Andre was always unpredictable, and Tony was always kind of loving everything, and but at the same time you thought something's up with this guy. So always, because you know, even your priest is not nice. Do you know what I mean? I don't think it's normally that people are always nice. That's not normal.
No.
It's like being happy
all the
time.
No one's always nice.
Huh?
No one's always nice.
No,
never.
Look at me and you. I've not always been nice to you.
I know, and I haven't always been nice to you.
Oh, yes, you
But you just do that.
Oh,
people.
No.
We
thank
just
you,
understand
Marianne.
Each other, right? What's that?
But you just do that so you can get a spanking, Marianne.
Oh, yeah, right. I wish.
Marianne
loves
to interrupt.
Knee, Teo.
What did you say, Teo?
I said, do you love to interrupt?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And you don't. No, I don't. When people are making conversation, I listen to them. And then if they ask me a question, I go on with it. But I don't interrupt a conversation halfway when you're making a point, because it means you're not listening.
True.
Oh, look, say, listen to that. Ooh,
oh, yeah,
deep.
Thanks, Tony.
Oh, yeah, thank you. What will I call you? Mary. There's
Hello?
Silence. Yes, is that...
Hello?
I felt I was at church for a moment. What's this?
No, you're definitely not at church.
No, you're not in church.
A church of Fuji, maybe, but...
Yes, so sure.
I wanted to say my goodbyes. It was nice chatting with you, Teo, as
nice
always.
Too.
Well, thank you for your chat, and you're always welcome.
Thanks for calling, Tina. You're welcome. Thanks for taking my call, and I'll definitely tweet you and let you know about the movie.
Oh, yes. Hmm. Another sip of wine.
All right. Good night, all.
Good night. Okay, let me see if I can try Heather again. Wow, Dr. Reed is a lot of fun today. Is Arlene there?
Hello.
Arlene?
Hello? Yes.
Hello. We got somebody.
Yeah, who is this?
This is Arlene Magruder.
Hello, Magruder. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Mr. T.
And where are you calling from?
I'm in San Bernardino.
Oh, well, that's not too far.
Well, you can run over anytime you want.
Really?
I love it.
Are you
I
in
think
the
we
hills,
might have a hoochie
or...
on the line.
Oh, yeah. Sounds like it. A new one.
I love it.
And we have a wonderful symphony here.
You have a wonderful symphony?
Yes, conducted by Maestro Frank Fetta, and before that we had Maestro Carlo Ponti, Jr.
Oh, how is he?
He's doing okay. He and Andreas were at their place in Encino and with the two kids, and I guess they were going back over to Europe.
To see Mother?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she's something. Every time I see Sophia Loren, I think about the way she had to carry those children, where she had had so many bad pregnancies that she had to stay in bed through the entire pregnancy.
I reminded Carlo I had read that story, you know, because I said, I saw your mom had to lay in bed and slip over the foot of the bed to use the bathroom, get back on the bed. And he says, well, I'm a what the came out. And I said, well, you can tell her it was worth it.
Oh, he's a conductor, is he?
Yes, he conducted our symphony for 11 years, and then he stepped down because he wanted to just spend time with his family. We had a baby girl.
Wow. Yeah, they're always playing that old movie of his mother's, Boy and a Dolphin, that I like a lot because it took place in Greece. But have you been to Greece or to Italy? Hello? Hello? Yeah, you there? Hello?
Hello? Call drop.
Oh, I'm
the
here.
Call dropped.
The Arlene dropped?
I couldn't hear anybody.
Hmm. She's not there because she didn't answer.
Okay, let's try and get her back on. My call's dropped twice already, so not having much fun right now. Should I get her again?
Hello?
Heather? Heather, are you there? Okay, go ahead. We'll take Heather. Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, great. Hey. Hi, Tao.
Hello, Heather. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing all right. Just getting over some bronchitis, but other than that,
that's not nice.
Doing pretty
summertime,
good.
Summertime, you shouldn't have bronchitis.
I know.
And where are you calling from?
Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh.
It's been a while. I haven't talked to you in a while. I have problems with my neck, so I don't get on the computer as much. But I'm slowly trying to get back to Twitter occasionally. But I know it's been a while since I've talked to you. I've heard you've been very busy.
Yeah, it's been an interesting summer. It feels strange that I haven't journeyed in a while. I feel like that part of me is missing.
Yeah, I bet.
You know, yeah, so, but, you know, let's face it, with what's going on in the Middle East and Europe, it's not a great time to visit.
That's true.
You know,
yeah.
For Americans, not, and especially the Middle East. I mean, that it'd just be stupid to go. Even now, I would still like Luxor, but even up there, you know, you never know who's going to look at you one day and feel their poverty, there's so much poverty going on, and resent that, you know, they think if you travel, you're rich.
Yeah.
So it's always about hustling you, and sometimes there aren't too many tourists, can be a real problem.
But, right.
Yeah, that's why you have to travel with a guide all the time, because they can scare them off, you know. But I may be going to Greece in September, so I'm waiting to hear about that, and I'll go to Athens, and then I'm going to go to a place called Baliki, which is on an island called Kefalonia, and it's where Ulysses, you know, the famous story of Ulysses when he came home, and what they're discovering on that island about his history now, and I'd like to go.
Oh, wow. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, they think they found the palace, so... You know, there's so many riddles with Ulysses. If you ever read The Odyssey, which is quite a book, but when you read it and he gives you all the facts, and there's a man called Brimstone from London who took satellite photographs of the island and found out the truth of where the real island of Ithaca lies, and not the island where they say is Ithaca of today. Just some wonderful news going to be coming out in the next few years about that area. So I'd like to go then, you know, excavating. Plus, I'd like to go and go to Santorini.
Oh, yeah.
Santorini is just breathtaking. So that I'd like to do. But I hear Greece right now is sad. There's so many shops closed, and there aren't a lot of American tourists, if any, because, you know, we've been travel out of America right now. So...
Mm-hmm.
So who knows? But anyway, what do you do?
I'm pretty much, I stay home most of the time. I'm on disability. I have a herniated disc in my back, and I have fibromyalgia. So I'm currently on disability. So
That's painful.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's pretty painful, but you know, you got to keep plugging along. So I do what I can, and
do you have family?
Yes, I actually moved back in with my dad, and we kind of help each other out. He's aging now, and so he needs some assistance. So we kind of help each other. Plus my two grown sons. I have a 24-year-old and a 22-year-old son, and they live downstairs. They kind of have the downstairs to themselves, so they're hanging out there so that we can all kind of save money.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sorry.
They must help you though, huh?
Oh yeah, they are. They're a big help to both of us when I can't get out to do something. Because my father, he hardly ever goes out. Like yesterday was the first time he's been out in about 8 months. So he finally got out to a doctor, which we've been trying to get him to go see. So he's finally starting to get some treatment for he's got lymphedema in his legs. But I told him it's nice once you get out, you see what you're missing, and he said that we were real happy to see him get out because he was, you know, cramped.
Nice.
Yeah. So we just kind of help each other out and do what we can for one another.
Hello.
And
well, listen, you take care of yourself and
okay,
give my family, and thank you for joining us in the chat.
Okay, well, I appreciate
thanks,
you talking
Heather.
To me. Okay, all right, thanks
for
calling.
All right,
have a good night. Okay,
take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, let's see if we get Angela on. Okay. Angela.
Can we get Arlene back? Oh, Angela.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, good.
Hello?
Angela?
Yes.
Hello? Arlene?
This is Arlene.
Okay. Go right ahead, sweetie.
Go ahead, Arlene.
How are you?
Great.
And who am I speaking to?
This is Arlene again.
Oh,
oh, you're back.
Call dropped earlier.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, you know, after you play a role for more than a month, how do you get that character out of your head, out of your mind, and get back to being yourself?
Good question.
Well, you know, I played character for almost 28 years.
You're still him?
What's that?
Are you still him?
Always.
A little bit.
Hello,
more Andre than Tony, really.
But with you, when I played the priest, when I was finished, I was finished. When I played Haman in Esther, it bothered me that the character was so dark, and in the story it didn't say why he hated the Jews the way he did. And so I did some history study and found out that he became who he was because the tribe of David annihilated his people. So that gave me a reason. So it's not so good to play a villain and just be dark, because then people just hate you. The thing is, you have to give them things that are unexpected. You've got to bring your charm. You've got to bring some humor. It's important. And you have got to be ahead of your audience, so that they're waiting to wonder what's next. And also, you know, you do it, but then you have to wait for the editor to cut it up along with the director, so you don't know how it'll eventually turn out. But, no, I don't, you know, there were times with Andre where it was so dark that it was bothering me, day in and day out, you know, going around killing people and behaving the way I was. That did affect me, I must say, and that's why I used to take all the journeys I did just to shake it off.
You got killed in your role as King, as Lord Haman, too. They killed you off in that role.
Yes, did, and
to follow you.
At the end of it, I don't know why, as I was being condemned, tears were running down my face. And when they finished, the director came to me and says, "My God, even when you're dying, you're taking the scene away." And I remember that the same with James, you know. I like when the unexpected happens, because if it's happening with you, it's happening for your audience. So that's what I like about being in the moment, you know. But I can't watch it. I don't enjoy watching it. I'll just do it. Yeah,
and convince you to watch it.
Yeah.
Well.
Well, we'll see. I'll have to do it. I'll have to watch it by the end of the week. You know, I just have to, I suppose, because I'm going to be seeing the director soon on the next film, and he's going to ask me. I can't say to him I haven't seen it.
Oh yeah, he's going to ask what you thought. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, any other questions?
Do we have any more callers? Arlene? Do you want any more questions for Taylor?
What happened to Heather? What happened to Heather?
Heather was done. Yeah, basically what's happening with Blog Talk Radio, Blog Talk Radio is on hold. Or muting
what's
them.
What's that?
Blog Talk Radio keeps putting people on mute. It's driving me crazy. Is Angela there?
Oh.
I'm here.
Yeah,
can you hear me?
There you go.
Hey,
I can
Angela.
Hear you.
Hi
there.
Hi,
hello, Taya. How are you?
Hi, Angela. How are you?
Much better now that I get to talk to you. I'm excited to get a chance tonight. Thank you
Where
so
are you
much
calling?
For doing this. You've got so much going on, I'm sure, in your life, and I'm excited about all the things you've been talking about. But it's awfully nice of you to take your time to share it with all of us, so really appreciate it. But listen to you, but I want to hear and see your book. I'm really excited. I'm waiting for the book, so you'll have to keep us informed on Twitter what's going on with that and
yes.
when you think it's going to come out. Do you think it'll come out before the end of the year?
Well, I'm hoping that. I was hoping that it would come out, you know, around the Christmas period, but it's just you have to wait for other books that are in front of you. My publisher has been out of the country for 6 weeks. The edit is now finished, and now we do the cover, and then we have to install all the photographs. I have to do that with the designer. I mean, it's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Probably, she said to me, you know, the fall now or winter. Now, it could be January, it could be February. I don't know. We'll see when she gets back, which will be on the 10th this week. So I'll know.
Well, it's exciting. And I was thinking about what you were saying, too, about your movie, your upcoming movie about being the psychiatrist. I mean, is there research that you do on that, or is it, you know, again, I'm not really knowing what the premise of the movie is. It's hard for me to say, but I'm just wondering as far as your preparation. And I can't believe that you shot the Queen of Esther in 7 days. Is that what you said?
No, the film, they did it in, I think, 19 days, but my part was six days, and it was endless because I had so many scenes and a lot of dialogue. So that was you know, having done days and having to learn that many dialogue all the time, then I was used to the pressure. And because they were lovely to work with, it was, you know, pretty good. But,
as far as your new role, I mean, as far as, you know, it sounds like you're a fairly disciplined person. It's just as far as your daily living, you know, because you're talking about your workout schedule, and obviously you were able to manage your time to write this book and to do so many different things. I mean, do you have a pretty regimented schedule during the week, or
there's very few days I don't do something of work. I'm not a big social person, even though I have been these last 2 weeks, because it's the summer. But, I would work 7 hours a day on writing these stories. It was a lot of work. But, I am disciplined, and I'll watch my news in the morning, and then I'll go into having the breakfast, and then I'll go on the computer, and then I start working when I feel my doors opening. You know, when you're a writer, I found what is difficult is that there are some days where the door doesn't open as easily, so you can't get the information that's coming through you. So you have to be patient. And I remember some famous writers used to say they'd sit in front of their computer all day without even writing a word. I've never spent that much time, you know, a couple of hours sometimes where I get frustrated. But, it's a great way of exercising your mind. And because of all the journeys I took, one of the things I liked is my editor said she felt that she had traveled into foreign lands she would never have gone to. And she enjoyed that. And that's how I felt when I was writing it. I was traveling in my mind, in my memory cells, and remembering. I was amazed how much information I remembered, you know. And also, you have to be a storyteller. You just don't write a story and you think that's going to be interesting. Otherwise, we'd all be writers. You know, you have to challenge yourself and be passionate about what it is you're doing. And if you can find that voice in you, then that's great. And it's funny, I've gone with this book kind of backwards. I did all the stories of the journeys, and then I wrote the beginnings at the end. I wrote days at the end because it was a chapter I didn't want to write. Because I thought to myself, they didn't like me being outspoken at times, but, you know, I believe when we're working together, we're all adults. I'm not very good at people in position of power who use it to control you. I like people in power who are there to suggest and help you through the path. And that's what a good producer is to me, not somebody who wants to, you know, stamp their foot down and say, you know, I'm boss. That doesn't work with me. I mean, I can play along with the game. Important, but anyway. So it's authority. I have an authority problem.
Well, so a lot of us do it. I think if you don't get through this life with it, having one or two. Well, I really am excited about the fact that you're doing another movie and just the fact that you'll come on and share a little bit of your life with all of us. It's really very nice. And I appreciate it so much. I hope you have a great evening.
Thank you. I enjoy it because it reminds me how fortunate I've been, and also, not that we don't all have opportunities, it's in the way you use those opportunities. And I've been an adventurer anyway, and so I always think that when I travel, I like to take, because there's some, you know, with the modern day technology, it's not just about you, it's about taking people who will be interested in your story because you're going to tell it one day. And so I try to find all interests in nooks and crannies and go off the beaten path, or, you know, sit with Bedouins in a tribe and talking to them about life, or even going to monasteries. And I love watching monks in silence. There's something about that stillness that, and the connection they have to their higher being, that I find really wonderful. And the smell of candles and ancient places, all those things for me. And what's great is there are people out there who also like that and also are interested, because it's not part of the norm, you know. It's not a walk to Sunday school.
Well, thanks again. I hope you have a great evening.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for calling,
Angela. Okay.
Thanks,
Angela.
Okay, thanks for... All right, bye.
Yeah.
Thanks, Angela.
Yeah. That it? All the callers?
Yeah, that's all our callers.
Yeah.
But I had a question for Tao.
Yeah, go ahead.
Tao, you mentioned in Soper Digest you wanted to come back to Days as a Ghost. I was wondering if Tony would be a naughty ghost haunting people, or would he be more, what's the word I'm looking for, more heavenly or more of a softer type of Tony? What would you have in mind?
Well, it's not up to me, but, you know, it's like someone says to you, okay, here's all the ingredients for, or here's, I want you to do chicken soup. Well, you know, you may not like chicken, but the analogy is you'll find enough ingredients to make it interesting. So no matter what, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think I'll be ever going back today somehow, not while this producer's there, this head writer. I think you know, the way Cary Grant used to be mischievous in The Bishop's Wife. You know, someone who's very sweet but at the same time has a little bit of cheekiness in them. So, in other words, like I would say, James and Samantha, Sammy, are in bed together, I would like to be able, as a ghost, to go and sit by the bed and tell him his rhythm is off.
Perfect.
You get my gist.
You and
know,
you could offer
so
him tips,
yeah,
right?
I would like to. So that type of thing. But I don't know. I have a feeling it'll probably be... I mean, if they write humor, but they don't. You know, humor takes a while to write. Drama's easier, I think. But I don't know. Someone has to know your history in order to do it. I don't think this person writer knows my history. So, I mean, Ken Corday does, because that's how it's all created. But I think in many ways I would like to be able to kind of allow someone, sometimes... There was a wonderful English film where this kid, and he went to visit his grandmother in England, and she lived in a castle. And because she was going to lose the castle, there was this whole thing about treasure being hidden somewhere. And he had the same ability as she did, and that was he could go into the past and see all the ghosts walking around like they did in the times that they lived. And he could go into that period. And yet somebody else in the present day would come into the room and wouldn't be able to see that. So I wouldn't mind seeing things like that, you know, where the truth of the matter of a scene that I walk into and I'm able to in some way change it so that the outcome would be different. Having powers like that, you know. But at the same time, you know, it would be nice to trip a few of the actors, especially when you know, they were the enemies of the Demeras, you know. It would be great to trip them in some way without them expecting, or, you know, you say something to them, they turn around, there's no one there, and you drive them crazy. Things like that. In other words,
that would be fun.
Upsetting happy people.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're missing that nowadays.
Yeah, I have to say the writers, though, at least the script writers, have been very funny lately. The last few months, the show's been very funny. And the Demeras are getting thinned out again because the actor, Casey Diedrich, who played Chad, he quit the show. And the Violin quitting, so again, we're down to Stefano and EJ. So we're short on Demeras again.
Mm-hmm. Stefano's not on much.
No, Stefano's, yeah, mm-hmm. Jim's goal is hardly on at all.
I don't know if it's his choice. So I'm not sure. I think Joe's getting to the stage in his life where he's getting tired. And,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you know, I don't think he wants to work as much anymore. I mean, let's face it, he's in his 80s now, and he's probably going to kill me right now. you know. So it just, you know, it's... After a while, I don't know how he's done it as long as he has. At least I've had breaks and done other things, but to be playing Stefan all the time would drive me up the wall. You know, so... anyway... So, nice to talk to you all. Thank you all for...
thanks for a nice evening, Tao.
Thank you, Tao. We love talking with you and having that opportunity. You know, you're always a pleasure. I always learn something new from our conversations. And we love you a lot. We've enjoyed you over the years, and on screen and off, so... Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you, girls. Thank you, Carrie.
Take care.
Thanks, Tim.
And what was that? What did you say?
Who? I didn't say anything.
Oh, I thought you said what? Something.
No.
Well, Marianne, thank you too, hon.
Oh, thank you.
Take care,
Tim.
Take
care.
Oh, take care. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.